back to the Telosi Tech Podcast. Thank you for letting me do the intro, guys. I appreciate you. I think I've upped my rank on this show from guest to host at this point. So very happy to be here. I'll be taking over from here on out. But how are Nick and Randy doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'm enjoying my new Apple devices that Apple didn't give us any warning with and totally made our entire last podcast completely outdated. Come on, Apple.
Yeah, now it's going to be dated because we're talking about it and it's been out for a while. But we have thoughts. How are you, Randy?
First off, my face is
really
cold.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Randy, I can't hear you. He still has broken
pods.
Oh, my God. I can't hear him.
Oh, man, I got kicked him from the call. And you're the audio guy.
I'll go into that in a second, but I first want to say that I'm a method actor, and I shaved my face, and I cut my hair, and my whole body's now cold. So that's how I'm doing. But with that, I just want to say before we have this episode of just me getting roasted, you guys look like you have literally broke AirPods. Like, they look like the stems are broken.
Literally broke.
They were broke.
However,
because they're so much shorter.
I have broke AirPods because I don't have your little pros. But from what I heard from your video there, Drew, and amongst others and reviews, there's not that much of a difference when it comes to clarity. It does have, you know, something that no other in-ear wireless headphones do, which is the active noise cancellation. But
there's others.
From what I'm saying is with how good it is with your little in mic bouncing around or whatever.
But, sure. In this way,
I will most likely buy them eventually, or at least try get an opportunity to try them out. But I'm not in a hurry because I was so convinced that we were going to get over the ear active noise
cancellation. Oh, right.
And if I'm going to spend...
You're really hoping for those.
If I'm going to spend $200 plus on Apple, I would really like to have that as being the audio guy and being an audiophile. Sure. I would like to have the opportunity of, you know, sealing my whole ear and still having either the transparency going on or the active noise canceling. So I'm still hesitant, and I'm interested... Okay. You know, I guess at the offset of this episode, what your guys' first impressions are within having it under a week.
So, I've had it a little bit longer now, and I'm not in love with them. Mm. This is what everybody can reference when they say, Drew would get excited about anything Apple announced. No, I wouldn't. I'm excited when they do things they've never done before. So, in response to all of our now dated thoughts from the last episode. Apple has never done a release like this. That was actually more interesting to me than the actual product. The fact that they decided to, without a pre-order period, without an announcement, just drop them on the site, a redesigned product, that's never been done. They've never attempted that before. They've done lots of product releases with CPU boosts, but same old design, and doing it for small things, whereas this was the first time they straight up just said, it's a redesign, we've been working on it for a long time, it doesn't need an event, also you can buy it right now and then launch it. So within a span of like 3 days, we went from not knowing when they were coming out to having them in our hands and in our ears listening to them, which I thought was pretty crazy. The turnover period
was that fast,
and it makes me wonder if this is a direct response to the AirPower situation of when they tease a product that they're working on, but they don't like the delayed, like, okay, we're working on it, we'll get back to it, or, oh, we have to delay it. Like, will we see more launches in the future of Apple just dropping stuff, no event, no announcement, no pre-order, and just available to purchase? I think there's a good chance that might happen with the other products we haven't received yet, which by the time you're listening to this, they might be already out because Apple's very unpredictable at this point. But aside from that, AirPods Pro themselves, I've been getting mixed experiences, and depending on who I ask, I will get different answers. I've seen certain YouTubers say they actually prefer the sound quality from the older AirPods, or they prefer the comfortability of the old AirPods, and I've seen a lot more audiophiles say that they definitely are an audio improvement and they get things more balanced, and obviously the active noise cancellation is a no-brainer. That's obviously better in that regard. And I've also seen a lot of people say that old AirPods didn't fit them well and the AirPods Pro do. So the way I see it is Apple diversifying the AirPods line, which there wasn't much of a line in the first place. But what they're more doing is directly addressing, kind of like what the Series 5 was. They're not trying to make a compelling, well, for some people it might be, but they're not trying to make a direct reason for you to upgrade from the Series 4 to the Series 5. More so what the AirPods Pro were doing, were try to tackle the people who haven't bought AirPods yet and try to convince them, here's why you should upgrade. Because what were the common complaints with AirPods? Is like, they don't fit in my ear, they don't stay in, or they don't have noise canceling, they don't have the adjustable rubber tips, or the stem looks weird and it's too long. So Apple's now directly trying to tackle all of those issues people had with it. So now my hope is Apple keeps both. I don't want them to go all in on the in-ear design with the rubber tips. I want them to keep around the standard design or upgrade it, but just the idea of plastic-only earbuds that don't have the rubber tips for the people who don't do the in-ear style or this is uncomfortable for, because I've worn AirPods Pro for a prolonged period of time and they did start to hurt my ears a little bit. Not a lot, just a tiny bit. And I've also noticed drastically different experiences dependent on the seal I get in my ear. If I put them in at the wrong angle, I'm missing all the bass, so I have to, you know, adjust them a little bit to make sure the bass lines up correctly. And there's a little bit of that with the old AirPods, but not much. So that's why I haven't got rid of my old AirPods. I don't find these useless. I think there may be some situations where I might prefer using them. But as of lately, I've been using the AirPods Pro exclusively, and I think after getting adjusted to them and having my ears broken in a little bit, now the audio quality does sound better. Yeah, broken in.
Get it.
But that's where I stand on it. How about you, Nick? How's your experience been?
Well, I walked in with zero expectations. I purchased the AirPods Pro without even looking at the website. I didn't know what I was buying when I bought them. I just knew that I needed to try them out and that I was probably going to return them, because I honestly do still right now love my AirPods second gen. They were delayed in shipping because there was a big snowstorm where I was visiting. I actually had them shipped to a friend that I was staying
with.
And so I tried them out at an Apple store that afternoon before I got them.
And you can try them at a store? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they take them back and clean them every time. So they bring them out to you.
Good.
See, that's what I want to do. I want to try them before even...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was worried there'd be a big line of people that just hand them to the next guy.
Yeah.
No. Just take them out. Here you go.
They're getting more and more yellow.
ew.
But...
They do come in more than one color. Oh, wait.
It's, you know, the these were beige, white when I bought Apple. Them.
I don't have an ear infection,
dynamic,
I promise.
Color. But, Nick, you got to take advantage of them in full force because you went on a flight with them.
Oh, well, yeah. So at the Apple Store, was the first time I've ever tried actual noise cancellation. I've never ever used any other headphones that have it. And I didn't...
Okay.
Like, I thought, you know, maybe it would help, but, like, not this much. I put them in, and I think they were in live listen, or I'm sorry, transparency, when I first put them in. And then when I pressed and held, it went down to off, and it stayed there for like a half a second. And I was like, oh, wow, so this is what it sounds like. But it was really just the rubber barrier. Mm. And then it went all the way into full noise cancellation. And it was, you know, the Apple ad where like people disappear because like HomePod and like it's just you and your music.
Mm. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It felt like there, because you know the Apple Store, there's loud music, there's people, you know, there's the sound of Apple products being peeled open. You know, there's lots of sounds inside of an Apple Store. And all of those just disappeared except for the very faintest of the music. But other than that, and there was no music playing from the AirPods Pro. And I was like, whoa.
Whoa.
My facial expression probably matched that of a deaf child hearing for the first time. You've seen those videos online
where they start crying, you know,
it's so cute. Yeah, yeah. I love those videos.
How dare you compare yourself to somebody?
No, I think my facial expression was about the same.
While the amazingness of the moment isn't as impressive, I do believe that your reaction was about on par. I believe that part of the story.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah.
So I have a question. Two questions, actually.
Then I flew with them. But yeah.
Okay.
So the first one is, how dirty does the little tips thing get? Because I know that they're
very. I just cleaned mine while I'm looking at them.
Really?
I mean, they get.
Mine haven't been bad, but I do clean my ears. So
my ears are pretty waxy. So you know, there's that.
I take a pressure washer to them every morning. I just stick it in there.
How's the battery life with active noise canceling handling? I know it's shorter. A lot shorter.
I haven't noticed it drastically, mostly because there's very situations where I just sit for 4 hours straight with headphones on. If I was on a longer flight, obviously, I understand, but Nick said he noticed it.
I
was using them a lot the other day in coffee shops, in the city, on an airplane, at the airport, and they only get it depends on what kind of environment you're in. If you're in a quiet environment and the active noise cancellation doesn't have much to do, they do last a bit longer. Like, I was in an office and they lasted, I don't know, maybe 4.5 hours.
But if you go to a concert, it's dead before the first song's over.
Exactly. Yeah. If I was at a coffee shop, and I think they only lasted maybe 3 hours at the airport, they were.
Oh, wow.
I charged them up 3 times in one day, but I was using them pretty heavily trying to break
24-hour battery life with the case. There you go.
The case was like at 30-something% when I was done with the day. I was like, wow.
I got a lot of use out of them.
I did, and I was trying to put them through their paces while I was in the bustling city. And so, yeah, the airport, it's really nice just to be able to have in your ear at the press of a button a quiet room. It's like you're walking through security and there's a bunch of people.
Mr. Amex Platinum over here needed a more luxurious experience.
No.
Heaven forbid, you know, your Centurion Lounge wasn't good enough. Oh, there's 12 people in here. Boop, boop. And then all of a sudden, better.
I'm just wondering when it can filter out that iOS users can talk to you, but Android users, it just blocks them out.
Yes, please. Not just iOS users, just other ProPods, AirPods Pro users.
And then with AR glasses, it turns them green, and you can't even see them.
Oh,
they're just completely blocked from your vision.
Yes, I am judging you.
You can't talk to people.
No, how can I be judging you if I can't see you?
That one GIF with Dave Chappelle has the cash and he's like, and holds it up to him. That would be Nick at a Centurion Lounge seeing all these guys turn green with his, wearable glasses.
Did you see anybody else at that airport with AirPods Pro?
Yeah, I did. There were 2 other people. one walking through the terminal and one guy in the lounge with me, and we were sitting right next to each other. He came over and sat next to me. I almost said something.
That's trippy.
But I was pretty sure that even if something, he wouldn't be able to hear me.
Yeah. The reason that's crazy is that these things, at the time of recording this, we recorded this on Saturday, they haven't been out for a week yet, and you already went into public and saw multiple people using them, which is kind of amazing. I saw the lines online too. A ton of people were lining up to buy them.
Well, they were available in store. Like when I tried the AirPods Pro out, they just had a bunch sitting on the shelf, and I almost bought some because I wasn't sure when UPS man was going
to
make it.
But man, I'm so skeptical. Like if I go to Apple today and I see it, I might pick it up, but very reluctantly. Like that'll be one of the times I'll ask them to print the receipt for me so I can return it. Like I feel so hesitant, and I this is a product I am not
product
that I'm not emotionally invested in.
I
don't know, it's the I want to, like, I see you guys all like, oh my god, and I'm like, I want to feel that, but is this what it feels like to have an Android? I'm like, ew, fanboys. Ew, you sheep. I will say, you guys look so weird with these half stems coming out of your ears. I'm not used to it.
See, I'm thinking the same thing about you. Now when I see old AirPods, I'm like, oh my God, that stem is so long.
You mean I'm weird. I'm a classic baby.
Classic AirPods user. But I will say, like, it's not a, for me at least, some people would disagree, but for me it was not a night and day upgrade. It was not like oh my God, this is so much better. It was like a,
do you think that's okay, why that's they didn't different. Do a keynote then? The
that's fact a little that different.
It's like they know it's not that substantial maybe. Of an upgrade. Like we, it's let's not waste everyone's, you know, time management on this about, you know, trying to get lines down. If it's like, hey, here's the cool things that it does. It's really just transparency and noise activate or active noise cancellation. And here's a new design for it. And by the way, same color.
Right.
Oh, that's another thing. The same color. You had one job, Apple. Yeah, that was a
huge missed opportunity. It makes me wonder if they were going to, this is an evil idea. So Tim, don't do this if you're listening, which we know you are.
Naturally.
What if they decide to release more colors later on so that people feel inclined to buy them again?
No.
Past the 14-day return policy.
On that 15th
Yeah, wait a couple weeks and then drop the black pair. Then wait a couple more weeks, drop the red pair. And everyone's like, ah, dang it. Now I got to go try to sell these, try to get a new pair.
Would you
it'll work. You know it'll work.
Product red.
If dang it, Randy, that's a good question.
No, I would. I like the iconic whiteness.
I don't think I would get it the day it came. Well, I might get it to review and then be like, okay, they now come in a new color red. Here they are. And then return them, keep my white ones, and then at another date down the road where I can just, I have some gift cards or I have some Christmas money to blow or something, then I'll go back and get them and I'll pretend I have them for the time being.
You'll get a red Sharpie.
But I hope, I will say though, in response to what you said earlier about there not being a keynote, now that we know more about the 16-inch MacBook Pro, I understand why they didn't. Now that I'm realizing how minor of an upgrade it's actually going to be, the AirPods Pro, AirTags, and the 16-inch MacBook Pro would have made for a very tiny, uneventful keynote. If they did a keynote about those three things, and my guess is they didn't want to do AR glasses at this event, that would have been extremely uneventful. It would have been like, okay.
They would have talked more about the Mac Pro to kill time. Talk about, I see the thing is, I swear, maybe even in November. Hey, and don't forget, we have our new Apple services.
Or the bundling,
And then there's like, they could talk about these shows that, you know, Nick over here apparently has watched all of them already.
We'll talk about those too. But I think
I have one more thing to say on the ProPods.
Let's finish up ProPods before. I just want to call them ProPods. That rolls off the tongue nicer.
I don't know. It does.
AirPods Pro.
I'm not going to be the person who says, my iPhone X didn't work, so I went and got an iPhone XR. I don't want to be that person.
Pepper Popper Peeper. Pepper Popper Peeper Pitter AirPods Pro.
Peter Parker to pick up a passport, please.
Peter Parker Pizza Pit.
Are you guys having strokes?
Yes. Goodbye, everyone. I'm having a stroke.
Oh, okay, so what were you gonna say? While I was flying yesterday, I decided to do a test of them all over the plane, and I had AirPods Pro and AirPods 2 in my hand. I was switching out between them, seeing what the differences were, seeing what it sounded like.
Were you attracting
eyes? Transparency, and off, and noise cancellation, at different volume levels, listening to different things. And yes, of course, whenever I had the AirPods 2 in my ear, I made sure that the AirPods Pro was conspicuously out and in public, so it would be known I was not that broke.
Stuck hundreds out of his shirt.
Yeah. Nick, you fly first class with your platinum card. I'm pretty sure people know you're not broke. Just an idea.
They actually check. They check before he gets into first class.
Sorry, like, what iPhone do you have, sir? No. You
have
Southwest.
To sit in coach. You're actually in the wrong terminal. You're going to fly
Spirit
or Frontier.
Oh.
Okay. Anyway, so I know Drew specifically was questioning, you know, what do they sound like on an airplane? How do they perform on an airplane? Mm-hmm. So I put together the best approximation that I could get. I went ahead with my iPhone, no extra mics or anything. I recorded the ambient noise of the aircraft, and I got a little chime in there. It was perfect timing. And then I took detailed notes while I was sitting there on the actual plane of how the different pods and settings affect the background audio and the music playing. So I put together this little demo tape, I guess, of little 10-second clips that I think pretty accurately shows what the different audio levels will be, what the background will sound like, what the foreground music will sound like with different settings and pods. So I'm going to go ahead and play that now. I actually haven't finished it yet as we're recording. So I'm going to play this now in post.
Don't take away the...
enjoy it later.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, cut that part out. Don't take away the...
no.
The magic.
By the way, guys, it's not really recorded yet.
Boo. Okay. Enjoy.
This first clip is going to be recorded straight off the iPhone 11 Pro, and it gives you a great idea of what the ambient sound sounds like on the airplane without any kind of music going on, no headphones in, just exactly what it sounded like. Next, we're going to add in some music, but play it through as if you were listening to the audio on AirPods 2. So notice how the AirPods themselves do block out a little bit of background noise, but not a lot, maybe about 20% of the background noise. And again, that's audio playing at 50%, so it's really difficult to hear anything but the highs. And now we're going to move on to AirPods Pro with transparency. So that is adding in a little bit of the outside noise along with the 50% volume music to kind of make it seem like there isn't even a headphone in your ear. Now with this, you'll notice that the background noise level is actually higher than the AirPods 2, but actually I kind of like this because it makes it easier to listen to PA announcements or whatever else is going on inside the cabin. But you're also able to hear your music just about as good as your AirPods 2, just with transparency. So here that is. So this is a great example of the AirPods Pro being off. Now what I mean by off is there's three settings. You have transparency, off, and noise cancellation. This off mode doesn't have any software compensation for audio. All it's doing is allowing that silicon barrier to stop a little bit of the exterior noise from getting into your eardrum. And actually it works very well. So here it is. Now you notice with that, the background noise level didn't really change all that much, but you were able to differentiate between the highs a whole lot more. Now this next clip is a great example of AirPods Pro in full active noise cancellation mode. Notice how there's barely any background audio, and you can really hear the music's highs and lows the entire way through. You could barely even hear the chime in the background. And just for a quick comparison, here is AirPods 2 directly next to AirPods Pro with noise cancellation on. Now, what I really like about AirPods Pro is you get a really slick transition between transparency, off, and active noise cancellation. So I'm going to play you a quick simulation of what that sounds like now.
Cool. Yeah, so hopefully y'all enjoyed that. Obviously, those are all simulations. It's not actually recorded from my ear. Unfortunately, I couldn't do that. But it sounds pretty darn close. So If you're wondering what it sounds like with different settings and stuff, that's about what it'll sound like.
Just imagine you turning off the audio. And with noise canceling, silence. Full 10
seconds. Oh my God, it's like it I'm is. There.
Yeah, it's like I'm in a quiet room. Cool.
It's almost about silence. I mean, I you could still barely hear the ding, but over the music, but it was about silence. It was really nice. 10 out of 10 would recommend hear, if you fly a lot.
You could hear the plane explode if you needed to. That would still be picked up.
Actually, no.
No, dang it. It's that good. It's no, you're just gone. So the back of the plane's falling off and you're just... I'm comfortable. Okay.
That was what I wanted to say on AirPods Pro. I believe, yeah, we do have another Apple product
or service. Let me try that amazing transition again.
Because please do.
Every time I have a cool transition, ooh, nice segue. Ah! And see, by me addressing it, now it's not even a segue, so I already set it up for you.
Welcome to the very first episode of the Talos of TV Plus Book Club! I'm your stand-in host for Oprah, and today we'll be talking all about Jeff Bezos. Visit audibletrial.com/talosiv to get a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial. Who is the richest person? Well, Siri can answer that.
The world's wealthiest man is Jeff Bezos.
But who is the richest person is something that only The Everything Store by Brad Stone can truly answer. This book was the first time I really even learned who Jeff Bezos was. I mean, of course, I knew he was the Amazon guy and he did all of these other cool projects like Blue Origin, but I didn't really know who he was. And this book really dove deep into his intellect. I couldn't recommend this book anymore. This book and thousands more are available at audibletrial.com/talosiv or by clicking the link in the description below.
Nick, I don't even remember how I roasted you about it, but somehow Nick was able to watch all of Apple TV Plus already. It's been out for 24 hours as of recording this, and he's watched all of it. Hey,
no.
What do you want to watch on Netflix? Yes. It's like that.
Yes.
He watched it all. He's done.
Well, they didn't drop entire seasons.
Yeah, no.
They did like three episodes of a few things.
Remember, this is market share time. Actually, Nick, before you go into it, I just want to address something that is applicable to me and some, I think a good amount of our listeners. I was always going to get Apple TV Plus for free, apparently, because if it wasn't for buying a new product, that way they said they would for the first year being free. If you have the student membership for Apple Music, which I do, you're going to get it free. So
what? When did you start going to school?
you don't know my life outside of the hour or 2 hours. No, I'm still enrolled. I do have a degree. I have a bachelor's. I'm not Mr. Masters over here with the accounting, you know, on this side of the house. And Sweeney.
It's not all that.
So you
useful.
Get it free regardless.
I'm still enrolled.
Wow.
I'm just not actively taking a class right now, but I still have an EDU.
You still have the email.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Because I will take Mike. I did for the longest time when I was still on active duty in the military. I was doing online classes. So as long as I don't, I mean, I can register to do that or like traits anything. You know, it's more versatile than ever before now. So they still
education rates went through the roof. Yeah, everybody stayed in school to get free TV Plus.
That's it. So I have free Apple TV Plus. For I guess a year still, or I don't know how long that is going for.
In addition to your new phone, or
so with
so you have 2 years in total.
I don't know how long. So we know for sure you get 1 year free if you buy a new product after this. But being a student, I didn't see any.
As long as you're a student, you'll get it for free.
Oh well, then I'm free
but
forever.
The reason they have that discount is because they know most students aren't students forever. Eventually, those. A few years. Like, I used to have an Adobe Creative Cloud student membership, and then it expired after, like, 3 or 4 years or whatever. So maybe Apple will do something like that. They're like, okay, you've been a student long enough, or something like that.
I mean, Apple does ask me for verification every now and then, at least once a year. Hey, verify you're still a student, and so I have to do the proper steps. Gotcha. Which I am. I am still a student. I have student... things going on. I have to. It's part of my job requirement. Sometimes I have to take classes.
Right.
So I am a student. So, they do ask for you to verify.
Learning. A lifelong learner.
Yeah, it's different now. I'm not.
They're handing this stuff out. I mean,
market share, dude. That's the reason, all they're trying to do. It's great.
They did the reason job.
They also, I don't know if you guys knew this, they also launched an annual option for TV Plus.
Oh, really?
Which is $50 a year, which, of course, no one's going to do for a year. but that basically saves you $10 a year. Nice. If you are just an avid, passionate TV Plus subscriber that you know you're going to be watching these shows for the next year.
I might be.
But
who knows?
Outside of how the shows are, which I would like to hear your opinions, Nick, I'm getting somewhat annoyed with the tech community, which I do regularly, but not for Tesla reasons this time. Mostly because everyone is acting like because Apple paid for the show, they can talk about the show, and it is tech-related. This is like tech talk, especially in our Discord. It's becoming a regular problem. Tech talk, Nick. Don't mention the cringe app. Someone brought up a good point about TikTok the other day. They said it seems like the type of fake social media site that would be in a Nickelodeon TV show that all the kids cyberbully each other on, except it's a real thing.
Oh, wow.
That's besides
the point. I actually like it. But, my gosh, guys, come on.
I can't wait to see your TikToks.
Neither of you guys know what to do with me now. Let's move on.
Okay. A lot of people, like in the tech community at least, are just giving opinions and thoughts on here's what I thought of this episode, or like, and I'm like, this isn't tech stuff. Like, this is like giving your opinions on artists that you subscribe to on Apple Music. Just because you're using Apple Music, that doesn't make it a tech related subject. Mm. But because on the podcast we talk about all kinds of things, I'm still curious to hear what Nick thinks.
Good, because that's what as I long spent as it's not the whole podcast. Yesterday doing.
Okay.
So I watched three shows.
I haven't seen any.
Oh.
So
okay. Oh, you haven't seen any, Randy? Have you seen any?
I have not seen any yet. I've had a busy.
Okay. So both of you are in for treats.
It's been out for what? 24 hours. I was busy yesterday.
Barely.
I'm sorry.
Barely 24 hours. How dare you, Randy?
I was busy as well. No, that's a lie. I wasn't that busy, but go ahead.
I had like all day. I had like all day before my flight, so I had nothing to do.
Good idea.
But sit in coffee shops and use my noise cancellation and watch Apple TV Plus.
Plug, 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 plug.
So
this is so watched, November 2019.
I know, right? It's only the second day. So I watched three shows. I watched For All Mankind, The Morning Show, and season one of Snoopy. First off, we'll start with Snoopy. I love Snoopy. Snoopy is like my favorite cartoon. I have fond memories, all of the Christmas specials, all of the Halloween specials, all of the Thanksgiving specials. I love Snoopy. And like, there was never really a good way to watch more than just the few VHS tapes my parents have of Snoopy.
Sure.
And like, finally, like, there's some new Snoopy content. And it's about space.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things. And obviously, it's geared towards kids. So a lot of the space stuff is way more watered down than I appreciate. But for the target demographic, it is good. I think it does a good job getting kids excited about space and teaching them a few things along the way. 7 out of 10 would recommend.
7. Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty good. Like, there wasn't, I mean, yeah, it was good Snoopy.
That's a C.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, the things I didn't like about it were the fact that, favorite out of the three, definitely For All Mankind.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was the first one I watched. As soon as it came out, I double-clicked that side button to authorize the monthly subscription, and I sat down and watched that show. I am such a space nerd. Like, I'm a Tesla nerd. I'm a credit card nerd. I'm also a space nerd. And my favorite era is the Apollo era, 1962 through like 72 is my favorite decade of space history. And I unfortunately know way too much about it. So a lot of creators that
like
I
that's
found
a bad that, thing.
Well, it makes it hard to watch stuff because even Apollo 13, the one with Tom Hanks in it.
Yeah,
I used to love that, and I can't watch it now because they have quite a few things that they didn't quite get right.
Because they're...
because they're wrong.
But exactly. Snoopy, that's okay.
But Snoopy's to suspend my disbelief. It's a dog as an astronaut. I mean, come on. We haven't had
I
that
think
since
Snoopy
Russia
and For All Mankind are in the same universe. They could coexist.
Yeah.
What okay. if Snoopy's actually from Russia? And he gets to the moon before America.
He is a Russian beagle.
Hello, oh, comrades.
Red Snoopy.
Red Snoopy. Anyway, so I really, really, really loved For All Mankind because they got so many little details right and so
good.
On point.
That's good.
Like Von Braun, he was, you know, the kind of the visionary behind early NASA, and they found the clip. Like they play actual clips of the actual Werner Von Braun mm-hmm. talking about the Sea Dragon, talking about which was a huge, it was a rocket that was four times larger than the Saturn V that they were theorizing wow. building, and it would be launched from the ocean.
That's what she said.
Oh my goodness.
Nerd.
Randy.
Thank you, Randy.
I still can't hear you, but I just hear Broke coming over my noise canceling headphones.
That's today.
Which
wow.
is why I'm recording into this mic, so everyone else can
ooh,
hear me.
The big fancy mic.
Where's anyway, your money now, so Nick?
Was, ooh. Mm. I have mine right here, the but I still don't have detail. An amp. I need to go get my amp.
So oh, yeah, yeah.
Sound all crispy. But anyway, For All Mankind, 10 out of 10, would recommend this. My favorite
wow.
TV show I've watched
perfect
in a while.
Perfect score. Okay.
It was...
Dang.
A few minor quibs. Like, I don't know, they kind of make all of NASA out to be a sexist, which I think probably was true. So,
is it wrong if it's accurate for its time?
I don't think so. I was just a little shocked because, you know, we kind of romanticize, you know, oh, NASA and, you know, this or that. And Hidden Figures did it and kind of, you know, broke that ice, and I appreciated that.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
bring in a different perspective. And mm-hmm. I totally think that that's really what happened based on
what society
was like.
It says a lot about our society.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm. anyway, I was a little shocked to see that. But, you know, the more I think about it, that's probably how it actually was. So, 10 out of 10. It was a very good show.
Wow.
I would recommend you watch that. But I'm a space nerd, and so it's not for you. And The Morning Show.
Morning Show.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. When you're such an avid fan of a certain TV show, and the main star of that TV show has a certain personality that mm-hmm. is his character in that TV show, and then you watch this actor on a different TV show, and he's still kind of using the mannerisms of the character from the old TV show... It's really right. hard to watch the second TV show. And of course, I'm talking about Kelly Kapoor from The Office.
That was on the front of my mind, too.
Naturally. Yeah.
Mindy Kaling is the actress.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Mindy. So she is actually in the morning show. And there's like she's kind of a side character or whatever. But her first... she's like in episode 2, and her first bit of screen time, there's a slow pan into Mindy, and I'm sure it's just for all of the Office fans to go like, oh, we got Steve Carell yeah. and Mindy.
Oh! It was very obvious, like, we're yeah, supposed like... to be clapping now.
So I'm pretty sure that fan. The Office and the morning show exist in the same universe. When Michael moves
oh,
to
no.
Colorado, he actually
no,
starts his TV career.
Are they in Colorado?
No, it's in the he moves to
okay.
New York. But
oh, thank God.
I'm pretty sure it's in the same universe.
Imagine.
But
don't ruin The Office for me, Nick. That's why I haven't watched this show yet. I feel like it's going to ruin Steve Carell for me.
No.
But I guess they're taking Office away anyway, so who cares?
Oh, yeah, doesn't matter.
I'll get over it.
I'm not going to peacock and chill, so I won't be doing that. I'll be TV plussing and chilling and Disney plussing and chilling and all the plussing chilling. I can't wait.
What is the TV plus expression going to be?
I don't know.
TV plus pretzels. I don't know. Go on. How did you feel about Morning Show?
The Morning Show
not
wasn't
your favorite?
Really what I was expecting.
Okay.
I expected less of a drama and more of a... sitcom, and I get that it's the first three episodes, and the first three episodes yeah. of any TV show are more character establishing show episodes.
They're not accurate episodes to judge a TV show
exactly.
off of. If you look at any successful TV show, don't go off of the first three episodes.
Yeah. So it yeah. kind of felt more like a not a soap like a drama,
yeah.
kind of a movie.
Yeah.
than a TV show, but it's still like very
good. He's a victim of the Me Too or something, right? Like that's what
he is a victim of the Me Too, and I think they portrayed that pretty fairly. I avoid the politics of that side, but yeah, I think that they did a good job. I think Apple showed both sides of the issue. You know, I mean, if you go watch the show, episode 3 is kind of all about Steve Carell's character being kind of upset that just one person could say one thing and ruin his career, which, you know, obviously I would argue that he shouldn't have been doing any of those things to begin with. Right. But
all those things he said to Jan.
I know.
Of course they were going to finally come back.
If they get Jan.
He sent that email picture all around the office. Oh my God. And now that's finally come back to bite him. That's
it. Oh my gosh. If they do that, I
can't watch Jack Ryan for the same reason. I just see too much of their last character that I have a very hard time disconnecting from that. That whenever I see clips or trailers from Morning Show, I'm just like, that's Michael. I'm sorry.
And it still is Michael. All of his mannerisms are just like Michael's. Like, you know when Michael has something he wants to tell you but he can't tell you, he kind of like purses his tongue like this, like, Steve Carell does that in The Morning Show, and it's like, I'm pretty sure this is still Michael. But anyway, the main point I wanted to drive home, though, you know how Apple doesn't do really any movie promotional sponsorships? So, you know, Marvel and Endgame specifically, it was a Pixel 3. Everyone had a Pixel 3. Apple doesn't do that kind of stuff. And it was really refreshing to watch an entire TV show where every character had an iPhone XS or an iPhone 8, and everyone was using a MacBook, and everyone was using an iMac, and everyone had AirPods, and it was just like, oh, this is like my show with like, it's not going to age well at all. Like in 3 years, in all these, be
like in Jason Momoa's C, everyone's using an iPhone, everyone's using an iMac. Wilderness. You imagine them like throwing spears and stuff, and then they just take out an iPhone and take a picture.
Take a slow feed.
It's actually filmed with iPhone.
I saw some people calling out in the Morning Show. There was someone using a MacBook, and on the dock of the Mac, there were a bunch of applications that weren't supposed to be there. And it had a lot of us chit-chatting in the Discord today. We were very confused. There were iOS apps in the Mac dock. And we were trying to figure out how that happened, because we're like, all right, there's no way the people making this show know anything about computers. They're clearly just filmmakers that Apple has contracted. And they're like, okay, if you need a computer in the show, make sure you use the 15-inch MacBook Pro. It has a touch bar. And then if you need an iPhone, everybody has the iPhone XS Max with its dual camera in the gold option. You know, so they're handing that out. But we're trying to figure out why in this one screenshot someone got of a MacBook, look for it if you watch the show, in the dock they have the Files iPad app in the dock. They also have the iOS version of iMovie and a few other things that aren't supposed to be on the Mac in the dock. And I was just like, do you think they gave them some kind of developer early access like Mac for the show, and they didn't even think about it? They're like, we need a MacBook, and then some like guy within Apple's like, here, just use this one. And he's actually testing out Project Catalyst. He's got iOS apps on the Mac.
They filmed all of this a long time ago.
Maybe.
You know, I would imagine that all the iPhone XS's were actually pre-production units. Because there are,
or maybe they're just 10s and they're not 10s Maxes, and
they make it very, very easy to tell, because every time someone's talking on a phone, there's a very close up of the speaker grill, and you can see the extra antenna line and the three dots. It's like, oh,
and
Apple.
And when characters are having a conversation, they go, just call me, and then they look at the camera and say, on my iPhone XS Max, 128 gigs of storage, and then they
space
stop looking
gray.
At the camera.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Because they filmed it. They could have like, at the end of it, they're like, "And don't worry. And if your thing's about to die, just put it on Apple AirPower." Because they thought it was still coming.
Yeah. What if they used AirPower in one of the episodes?
Oh my gosh, they'd have to cut that out.
All the tech audience would flip out.
Yeah.
Oh my god. What if they didn't know what they were going to name their products yet? So when they were filming, they do ADR after the film, like at the last minute.
And
they're like, just call me on my iPhone 12. But they're like, their mouth gets like replaced by someone else's mouth.
You know that scene of SpongeBob when it gets like superimposed with an actual mouth and it's like, actors. It's like
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
That's what you see.
Anyway, overall, it was good. I'd recommend it. Okay. Let's find another topic because this isn't Talos of Movie Reviews.
Well, I want to talk more about TV Plus as a subscription service and the planning and stuff a little more.
This week's episode is also sponsored by Ting. Visit talosof.ting.com to get a free $25 credit. What do you actually want out of your mobile carrier? Most carriers would tell you that you want fast speeds, or the latest phone, or the best coverage. But at least for me, what I want is customer service like none other. I want the freedom to switch phones, carriers, and SIMs without complicated leases or contracts. I want to pay fairly for what I actually use. Ting is a breath of fresh air. Ting has the same great speeds with the same latest phones and the great coverage of the big boys. But they also, treat you like a human being? Ting also gives you unprecedented control and flexibility so you are in charge of your phone and your phone contract. Try Ting Mobile for a fresh experience with a $25 credit at talosiv.ting.com.
I'm curious if, based on what you've seen so far, are you completely sold on, I'd keep paying for it once the free year is up?
It's hard to say. With any TV show, the first three episodes are not indicative of the rest of the show. So I'd say once I finish season one of both The Morning Show and For All Mankind, I will be able to more definitively say that. But from what I've seen, I would. But that's subject to change. And the cinematography is honestly beautiful. Like, it's very... It doesn't feel like a TV
You're
show.
Beautiful.
It feels like... Oh, thank you, Randy. I needed that.
I know. You look like you can use a compliment right now. There you go.
Oh, thanks.
There you go,
I went and got my haircut and everything, and no one noticed, but you did finally.
I noticed.
You guys were all firing shots at each other minutes ago, and now you're all making
But I still can't hear you, Randy, because you're broke.
Yeah, and you're stupid with your Amex Platinum stupid non-titanium card.
I think we should be in a TV Plus original.
That would be amazing.
Make a sitcom.
Yes. Yes.
That would be so cool.
Can we submit ideas?
Just give us a few million dollars. That's
I don't
all we
know
need.
Why we haven't got picked up yet, to be honest. I mean, no one is close. we're the only ones that own we own it for Apple ecosystem and all. And Talos.
We can make an entire TV Plus on a Apple ecosystem.
That's what I'm saying. You know how you have like YouTube originals and they're funded by YouTube. We should have TV Plus originals, and we could be funded for shows, podcasts, everything. Like, if we could just have the backing of, dude, that is legit. We get to work for Apple, but as more as a contractor so we still maintain our independence, but we get to work with the people we want to work with. It's so cool.
Right.
I'm getting excited about something that doesn't exist.
It's like the Oprah. It's like the Oprah Book Club. It would be fantastic.
Which I refuse to watch, and I will not be watching.
The moment Oprah drops that, whatever, is it
it's
out
It's already dropped.
Oh, yeah, I'm staying. Yeah.
I haven't clicked on it.
Well, we know it's free, but I've got my calendar marked for Halloween of 2020 to cancel TV Plus. So unless I get really sold or intrigued into a show, because I got to be honest with you, when it comes to the shows, I don't have any personal interest in any of the shows that I've seen teasers and trailers for. Like, all I'm saying is, if these came out on any other platform, I wouldn't give a crap. I would not watch them if they came out on Netflix, if they came out on Prime, or if they came out on YouTube Originals. I would be like, that doesn't look interesting to me. But because it's from Apple, I feel like I'm obligated to watch them for my audience's sake. So because I know my audience is going to be like, Drew, have you seen The Morning Show? And I've already got that so far. Like, what's your favorite show on TV Plus? And I'm like, it feels like homework now. Right? Like, I watch a lot of stuff when I'm not working, and now I feel like even when I'm watching stuff, I'm avoiding work because I should be watching TV Plus. If I have to watch any of them, I think I should watch the elephant documentary.
Yes, I don't know why. That's actually up next on my.
That just looks like it has the best characters. You know,
the development, the best writing.
And you know what it is? I have. There's a very big expectation for me, and I think that most of the expectation went away the moment everything became free. But when I think of originals, I remember exactly where I was when I actually on Netflix in 2012. I stopped. No, 13. Early 13. Early 2013.
Six years.
I saw House of Cards. And that's what started this whole streaming and original shows thing. It all started with that. Before anything else, before Hulu, before Amazon, before YouTube, before Apple, you had that. And it really set the bar about, oh, you can have no barriers, no borders. You can do whatever you want on your own platform.
Mm-hmm.
And House of Cards was so good. And now I expect anything that's a Hulu original, I try to find that. I couldn't find it. On Amazon Prime, I tried finding it for the TV. The Prime TV, couldn't find it. And and every time I'm like, I'm just sad. At YouTube, there's nothing I like. I'm so
exactly like that.
I'll watch maybe the Vsauce stuff if I feel up to it at that moment. But even then, there's nothing on YouTube for YouTube originals that incentivize me like, yes. And seeing what they did with Mankind and how they're trying to take it more cinematic with Apple TV
Plus. The show Mankind.
The show Mankind. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, maybe I can find some of that exhilaration again. But I was really hesitant that they're going to keep this family-friendly PG-13 and take away some of the realism with it. But it seems to me that's not really going to be the case.
So they do have, I'm looking at it now, because someone asked me on Twitter after I said I binged everything, how they were, like, are they clean? Were they family-friendly?
Right. Yeah.
And both of the two main shows.
They have ratings in the app.
They do, yeah. And I'm looking, then they're TVMA for mature audiences. So they
the morning curse show
in
is.
It. They curse in
I
it.
I believe some of the shows are TV-14.
Yeah, one of them is. It's Dickinson, I believe, is TV-14. Yeah, okay. I'm looking at it. Dickinson's TV-14. For the record, Morning Show and C are all TVMA.
Yeah.
I've had a few people all the other ones tell are me like that they really enjoy Dickinson. But
yeah. Well, I've heard. That'll be the next one I'll watch. I wasn't excited about watching that.
Oh, I enjoy Dickinson too.
Oh, Randy.
I don't know where you're going with that, Randy.
The show, what are you guys talking about?
It is TV-14. C is TVMA. Probably because of all the cursing.
TV, C and
just for Jason Momoa having his shirt off, that's why. Hey-o!
Oh, that's my enough. Goodness. But then they do have a good amount of child-friendly stuff. So Snoopy, and then there's this Ghost Rider, which I hadn't even heard about. But it's like a G show.
Ghost Rider as in about, Marvel like, Ghost kids. Rider?
No, it's like kids who live in like or visit a haunted library where like the ghost brings stories to life or something. It's kind of like a kid's show. I haven't watched it yet. But it's rated G. And then they have that Sesame Street thing, which, you know, is definitely R. No one should ever be watching the Helpsters. Big Bird.
That's a very dark show.
Yeah, super incredibly.
Dark. Can you tell me how to get?
And then that documentary about elephants is just so vulgar. You know, it's.
I'm actually more excited about documentaries.
There's a lot of language.
I would like to see documentaries. I'm very. I don't know what it is. In the last 5 years, I've been more about documentaries, biographies, everything that's nonfiction. Just from a knowledge base, it's just interesting to see stuff like that. And I didn't even know there's this elephant. Besides, before today, I didn't know about this elephant thing.
In the room. Sorry.
Whoa. I think that will be probably the first one I will watch is that one, just because I want to start off on a safe note, like a good, like, all right, I don't want the first thing I watch to be like, man, this is crap, and I don't want to watch this, and then it just ruins Apple TV Plus for me.
Right.
You know, I want to start off, and I feel like watching a documentary about elephants. I like elephants. I like documentaries. I'll start there. And
I am pro elephant.
I'm a pro elephant. Wait a minute.
Me too.
Wait. Yes. That took a while. Yeah, I had a picture. Oh. I was playing it in my head for a second. I was like, okay.
Oh.
Yes.
This is not a political statement. Moving on.
No, it's a joke. It's a joke.
TV Plus is jokes, TV folks. Plus is free for you anyway. So what are you worried about?
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, it's funny. I did something you did, Drew. I canceled Amazon Prime. I canceled Hulu. I canceled.
Oh.
The only thing I'm paying for is
wow.
Premium Apple or YouTube Premium and Apple Music, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I canceled everything. I did a digital cleanup in my life because I this November is when my Amazon Prime renewed. I was like, you know what? I looked at what I ordered throughout the year, and it does not make sense to pay over $100 for doing maybe three orders on Amazon a year outside of holiday season stuff. So
I canceled it. Sure. Yeah.
I'm patient. Wow. I can wait. I can wait.
The only outside 2 days. Only subscription, you know, I've canceled a lot. The only subscription that I would like to have a sit down conversation with my wife about actually subscribing to is Disney Plus, because of the back catalog they've showcased recently. Mm-hmm. I've seen how many shows and movies they're going to have on there, and I'm not even that interested in the new stuff. I'm mostly interested in the back catalog, because they did this Twitter thread where they tweeted like 400 movies they were going to be bringing, and they started with like the 1930s movies. They said it would take you a solid month to watch all the content on Disney Plus nonstop, 24 hours a day. That's how much content they're going to have.
Okay, guys, see you next month.
No.
So when I saw that and I started looking, I was like, yeah, you know, I know they have Star Wars. And then I started scrolling back and I'm like, oh, they have that? Oh, they have that? I didn't know Disney owned that. Oh, they have that? And I was just like, dang it.
Dang it.
$7 a month. That's a pretty good deal.
It's an amazing deal. Is that with ads? Is $7 with ads or no ads?
No. No ads, 4K, and it's up to 6 devices or 4 devices at the same time. I'm paying
$7 to watch Ewan McGregor reprise his role as Obi-Wan. There's
But just wait for that show to drop first. You know, don't pay before that.
Oh no, The Mandalorian looks good too. I would pay
$7 for Mandalorian.
I would pay $7 just for a Star Wars thing. Are you kidding? Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Just that, a Star Wars only subscription.
Yeah, I mean, the fact
they
that
could
you
charge
get
$7 for Hulu, Disney at like Marvel, and $7 for Star Wars, and people
and there's an annual option.
And it's $12 for Hulu and ESPN, right?
But it is Hulu with limited ads. I was bummed out by that, because we used to have Hulu and there was a few shows we liked on there, but we finished them, so we unsubbed. And then if they bundled, I don't care about ESPN, but if they bundled Hulu with no ads and Disney Plus for $12 a month, I would highly consider that. But because it's limited ads, it's not worth it to me. I would just get regular Plus.
Yeah.
Because I don't care about sports at all. I don't watch that. But when it comes to just the back catalog, Disney has such a solid lineup. And I'm an Apple fanboy, you guys know, but man.
No, I'm also a Star Wars fanboy and a Marvel fanboy. Yeah.
Way more of a Star Wars fanboy than I ever was an Apple sheep, so. Sorry, guys.
Before Apple, there was always Star Wars. It's both.
Johnny Ive designed Kylo Ren's
lightsaber.
It was a
long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
They're one and the same.
I feel like sorry, I was getting excited. I'm in my zone right now thinking about Star Wars. With the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, they are probably going to continue where they left off on a Solo, about having Ray Park reprise his role as Darth Maul, and you're going to have these two iconic figures and top two lightsaber duels ever, and they're going to hash it out, and now they have
time. They already did that in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, I know, but that was animated. It doesn't count. I know it's canon. I know it's canon. You know, I want to see them, you know, chiseled and older and defeated. And listen, Ewan McGregor looks like he's killing it with roles right now. He is.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is his time.
He's in a ton of stuff.
He's going to come back as hello there and just
hello there.
Wreck it. I can't wait.
Oh, the memes. I can't wait for the memes.
So you guys are on board about Disney Plus, regardless of what happens with Apple and all that.
TV Plus, I'm not too sold on. I've decided, because I don't really watch like TV shows and movies when I'm just at my home alone. I'd like to watch the shows with my wife. That's usually what we do in the evenings. It's kind of going to depend on what we both choose. I think I'm somewhat interested in For All Mankind, but like I've talked about, I'm kind of getting tired of the space genre. I'm sorry, Nick. I know you are into it. But I've just seen so many space movies that I've started to get like, okay, space travel's hard. I get it. But when it comes to shows she might like, if she really gets into, I don't care, Morning Show or Dickinson, then yeah, we might keep watching it. Or if there's a, I forget his name, there's another actor that's coming to TV Plus later. His show's not ready yet. Camille, the guy from The Big Sick. I'm a big fan of that actor, but I forget his name.
Yeah, clearly.
Or I forget how to put it.
Yeah, huge fan.
Yeah. If his show's good or something, there could be more. Luckily, I think Apple was very smart to give it a year for free, because that's about, we're going to need a big, long catalog of shows before people decide if they actually want to pay for it. So it was very smart for Apple to basically start just giving it away. I mean, there's very few people that are actually going to pay for it, given students get it for free with Apple Music. That's a really good deal. And if you bought a new Apple product, basically, you get, which a lot of people did, you're going to get it for free for a year. That was a very smart move, because before they announced that, I was like, TV Plus is going to flop. This thing's going to be 10 bucks a month. No one's going to buy it. There's no back catalog. There's only going to be like five shows at launch. The fact that they're basically giving it away for free. I've even seen people online that said they didn't buy new Apple products and they're still getting the free year, which I think is a glitch, but it's bizarre. Several
better
people
binge
have confirmed.
Quick.
Yeah, I guess I think that was a very smart move of Apple to be like, okay, we can't keep up with the competition, so let's give it away for a while and then get them hooked on some shows, and then maybe a year they'll be willing to pay monthly for it. Also, if you do the Apple Card and the annual membership, it ends up costing $4 a month. I did the math while you guys were talking about it. So even cheaper. That's by far the cheapest.
Not for Nick.
Streaming service for with no commercials you can get. So
not for Nick.
I'm not
and that,
into that.
Fake
I would
card.
Like to. Oh my gosh, Randy! I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I can't help it.
Yeah. I as far as subscriptions, I have right now just Netflix, and now Apple TV Plus, which is free. I think I'm going to keep Apple TV Plus. Well, so Netflix, I only use Netflix for Parks and Rec and for The Office. Those
really?
Are the only two things I watch.
So that's
on Netflix.
Temporary.
Exactly. And so one of my friends is trying to convince me to watch Friends, and I've never really been into Friends, and I've been trying to convince him to watch The Office. So we're going to watch each other's shows. And after I finish that in December or so, after I finish Friends, I will be canceling Netflix and just enjoying the Office YouTube channel on YouTube to get my Office fix, which will be sad. But I'm not going to be paying for Peacock just for two shows.
I'll be honest.
I don't know why I've been paying for Netflix. But Netflix is seven whatever bucks a month, and so I'm just going to switch that subscription out with
TV Plus. No.
Well, mine is seven. I have the cheapest one. Just the single device. I think it's $7.99.
You watching standard definition?
Ew.
Dude, man. I'm on my phone. I don't care.
Ew.
And it's The Office. It's not
your
filmed in 4K.
Over 1080p phone.
Ew.
Oh my gosh. Shut up.
Gross.
I don't care.
I thought Netflix was way more expensive now, isn't it?
It
it's
is.
It's like 12.
I think it went up. It went up. I don't know.
$12.99.
I don't know what it is. Okay. But it's less than 10. Whatever it is I pay, it's less than 10. It's the cheapest one. But I'm gonna when I cancel Netflix, I'm probably gonna have TV.
The standard is nine.
Okay, well then I pay nine. I don't know.
You need to get control of your finances there, Aunt Sweeney. You don't even know what you're paying.
I have it on auto pay on a card that I don't really use anymore.
Is it the platinum card?
No. No. No.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
By the way, Nick.
Is there like a grandfather thing? Because I'm pretty sure I still
maybe you got grandfather. That's possible.
Let me look at my blast.
No, it doesn't work like that. You can't get grandfathered into a subscription like that. Not.
I think you can.
Let me check what my last
statement.
I may be wrong.
I can tell you
there's
for a fact
some, like,
I didn't.
Netflix. Okay, there's some Netflix guru listening right now that's just cringing.
Yeah, his name is Randy Vasquez, and I'm telling you, I every time there's been a price increase, I had to pay for it. Okay? But
okay, well the basic plan, which does not include 1080p
Netflix
streaming,
is and only $8.99. That's how much I've been paying. $8.99. You're right, Randy. Good job.
Standard plan. Netflix kind of sucks. I mean, the title is great. I mean, we went to my sister's house yesterday, and she had Netflix, and they turned it on, and they were scrolling through the movies, and I was like, oh, my God, you guys have so much. Yeah. We've been using this stupid free Vudu app for months now, and then when you go back to Netflix, it's like, oh, dang, you guys got tons of stuff.
Netflix
okay,
is
so
great. But the thing is, I don't
It's got
pay.
A great selection, but it is quite pricey. I mean, standard is $12.99 a month, and that's for two screens at 1080p. And premium is $15.99 for 4K and four screens currently. Compared to Disney, that's up there. That's a pricier subscription service now.
Huh. Well, I mean, they do have a backlog of originals as well for everything that you...
Yeah.
They're the pioneers of the whole thing. I would tell you that
they started it.
We use my mother-in-law's account as the primary, and we
I'm
offer
thinking about
profiles.
Signing into my dad's. Yeah,
it's the only way I watch now. Has. I wouldn't pay $15, $12, or $10. I wouldn't pay for it. There are shows I do watch on there, but I would just wait for them to come back in season, and I would just renew and watch.
Why don't they have a annual option? That would be nice.
They want you to
you
pay
could save
monthly.
Money if you did it for the year.
I think that will become the case once Disney Plus rolls out. Disney Plus is going to disrupt this whole.
Yeah.
You know. They're going to
ditching Netflix.
They're they're doing something. You know, you're going to see changes happen.
I saw a statistic that said they've already had over 500,000 people sign up for Disney Plus already, and it's not even out yet. These are just the pre-orders. These are the people that paid for the year, or there was I don't know if you can still do it, but for at one point there was a 3-year option.
Yeah,
where you could buy 3 years of Disney Plus for something crazy amount. I think it was like $180 or something, which in the long run you end up saving quite a bit because it ends up making.
Yeah, but I don't know what my content streaming needs will be in 3 years, so that seems way too far out to be buying stuff.
Or it could have a bunch of sucky shows. At the end, you'll end up paying a little over $4 a month, but you're locked into that contract, obviously, because you've already paid for it. So, but some people know, you know, they're looking at these shows and they're looking at these movies coming out, and they're like, I'm gonna pay for it regardless. So I'll buy the full 3 years. So my question is, why stop there? Why doesn't Disney have like a 10-year option?
Just lifetime membership
Disney
for
Plus
all of your money.
Decade edition. Did you know there was a... I think it was either American Airlines or United that offered a lifetime fly pass?
It was American Airlines. It was the AA Air Pass. Or the
and
a
they lost a ton
Air
of
pass.
Money on that because people were flying like crazy and they would buy them and then
it came
you
with
would
a
get
buddy pass.
A companion pass. Right. So they were bringing two people first class ticket for free for the rest of your life and their people still using
it
to this day.
They paid for it, but...
Yeah, it's free after you pay for it, like most things. That's the world of
subscription. Thank you for bringing in... You know what we haven't talked about yet? We've been going for almost an hour.
What's that?
We've gone for an hour.
Tesla!
Oh, there was a little bit of Tesla news. Did you hear about it, Randy?
I have.
A little bit.
A little bit. The only reason I didn't bring it up is I was like, oh, look, we can go an episode without talking about it. Nick!
We
can go
without... We got our hour in. You guys got your hour of Dickinson talk. Now we can talk about whatever we want.
That's what she said.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Bye, Apple
but
Sheep.
A long range got
Sheep.
A boost.
I'm waiting for my update. I'm waiting for it. Yeah.
I hope it's an update. I assume it is.
I feel like it is because it's not that much of a... It's not like I'm getting 50 miles, you know? It's like just...
12.
It's a couple.
That's a big distance, in my opinion, for a software update.
That's one more trip one way to from here to work. Yeah, It matters. Wow. It adds up.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That's cool how they can just add rings like that. That's amazing.
Like,
surprise! There is software that's causing the battery from actually ever being at a true 100%. Like how we have efficiency with taking videos on our phones, and then Apple has a code that actually makes it more efficient. In a layman's terms, it's the same way when it comes to utilizing the battery and efficiency with the battery. And how it's being utilized. I simplified it way too much, but just to give it a type of comparison, that's what that is. So really, they're just unlocking 12 more miles on my car. There's a way to be more efficient with energy usage, which is crazy to think that. Like, I was just having this conversation yesterday with a friend of mine, and he was like, does your car depreciate in value? And I was like, I don't think so. I think it keeps. I can sell it at a very good price.
Most cars do to a certain extent. But as someone who's looked pretty extensively at the used Model 3 market, it doesn't go down much. No. At least in the past few years, you can get a Model 3 used a little bit cheaper, but not much. Very. You can save a couple of grand compared to new.
I know I would be losing money just because of the aftermarket stuff I've been doing to it, but I have no. I am not selling that thing. That is the car. No. It's driving. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that with each update, I am driving smoother, and I'm not changing my driving habits. It is driving smoother. You can feel it.
Really.
Even more so when you activate either the enhanced autopilot or full self-driving. It drives smoother. It's crazy. My wife thinks I'm just becoming a better driver. I'm like, it's the car. And she goes, yeah. It's right. Because then when I drive her car, she goes, oh, yeah, no, it's the Tesla. It's not you.
Yeah. Right.
So
did we lose Nick, or is Nick still here?
No, I'm here.
He's here.
I can't see you either, Drew.
I see both of you guys.
Yeah, I have an explanation point for you too.
I can't hear him.
Oh, he can't hear you.
I'm sorry.
I can hear.
I guess I'll just ignore Nick for the rest of the podcast. Should I try to hang up and call back?
Nick just did that. He actually just hi, Nick.
Now I see him. Okay. Okay.
I'll cut this out.
He's good.
Thank you, Nick.
107.
2 hours later. Let me know when you're good. You're good, Nick?
I'm good.
Okay.
I didn't stop
rolling. I can hear you.
Just cool. Continue. So,
good.
I know where I'm going to. I'll give you a good cut, Nick.
Thank you.
thanks, Drew. You guys, you guys are going to actually, when the time comes at any point when you guys get your cars, you will notice it. And I'm sad to say that you're not going to notice how drastic of a change it's going to be with these updates because. So you guys, you know how we have chill for acceleration and standard, and those are your modes. What I don't take into account in the moment is those are the stuff that they keep cleaning up depending on how you have your profile set when you go into full self-driving. So I changed my profile to everything standard. The steering wheel will be standard, acceleration standard, full self-driving go, and you can feel it start really like not being like jerky, but it's just it's more aggressive. It does not care about the battery. It's going to do what it's got to do.
Yeah.
When you set it to chill, and I put for comfort on the steering, and I was like, okay, now this is a this is a luxury vehicle. Now you feel it start like you're still taking an impact on the battery, but you're not feeling the self-driving abuse that's happening with it. it is crazy that you can buy one thing. It's very un-Apple about updating your hardware every year. You can buy just one piece of hardware, and it's so future-proof. You want to talk about future-proof with its processor equivalent. It's like having the A 48 chip in this car in 2019. It's
48.
It has so much headspace. That's just very specific. Grow.
Yeah.
Well, 50 is the big one. That's neat. The big update.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll wait for 50. Yeah, I think that's just impressive. But the funny thing about it is now the Model Y long range is $490 cheaper
right.
than the Model 3 long range because they upped the price by $500 since the range increase on the website, at least. So the only difference is, though, the Model Y long range that's cheaper is a rear-wheel drive, not an all-wheel drive. So if you care about that part of it, I guess they're not exactly the same. And also the ranges are different. So the long range Model Y goes 300 miles. Long range Model 3 now goes 322 miles, which is only 51 miles away from the best EV range available, the Model S. So the fact that they're beating their own records is kind of insane because the competitors can't get anywhere close when it comes to the range.
And the kilowatt basically, hours are completely different. Like, what is the Model S, 75? And the Model 3's long range is like 50? They're able to squeeze a lot of power out of that.
Well, standard range is 50.
Standard range is 50? Oh, so the long range is 75. Okay. So I should have asked the Tesla sheep about that before I came on the show.
Sorry. I should have corrected you sooner. Yeah. But either way, I am very excited for the pickup truck event, which is supposed to be this month.
We haven't got
an invite yet. Calm yourself, Nick. We're not watching Dickinson. You can calm down.
Okay.
So the pickup truck event, I'm guessing, is going to be on a Thursday. That's when the Model Y event was. And given we haven't received invites or an announcement yet, I'm going to guess it's on November 21st. I could be wrong, but that's when I'm placing bets. But I'll be watching it. I'll be live streaming my reaction for sure. And I'm pumped to see the design and the specs, more importantly. I'm most interested in the range and price point. That's going to be like the most compelling part of the truck. Like, I think it very well could be, because he's talked about how he wants to have 240-volt outlets in the bed for you to charge accessories and plugs off of. Will this be the first Tesla that can charge another Tesla?
Ooh.
Is this the first battery bank vehicle that if your old model, let's say, Randy, one day you get a pickup truck years from now when it's finally available. Your old Model 3, its range has deteriorated a lot. It's been like 8 years from now. We're talking 2027, 2028. Range isn't what it used to be. I don't know, some kid or some, I don't know, robo-taxi drove it. Range is dead out on the freeway. So you go, don't worry, I got the pickup truck with its 450-mile range. I'm going to go drive it out there, charge it up, and then drive them both home. Or you can just tell the Model 3 to drive itself home.
Which
it follows
go home
you.
You're drunk.
So I just think the possibilities there are going to be really impressive for the
pickup. What a time to be alive. I don't like all this innovation because it makes me feel like we really are in a simulation. And I'm scared. I'm scared of how amazing everything is.
I definitely think that right now, specifically when we're recording this, is one of the most exciting times for Tesla's history, because it's not like the infancy, it's not like the birth, it's still like, okay, we're mainstream, we're becoming popular, we're making more affordable vehicles that are selling really, really well for a brand new car, and now there's also a giant market that needs to be filled, the pickup truck, which is a very common one. Lots of people buy pickups in the U.S. at least. And the Model Y, which is a crossover, and those sell even better than sedans do in the U.S. So that's about to launch. It's launching early in the pickup truck. We're about to see the design for it. And it's like we're seeing market domination do its thing, basically.
Yeah.
We're seeing a company get ahead of the competition, and we're about to see the final unveiling, because that's what I want to emphasize here with the pickup truck unveiling. This is the last big design before probably years of not too much excitement, because there will be updates and stuff, and there will be cool range increase and stuff like that. But after this, what new models do we have to look forward to? I mean, updated sedans, maybe?
The model.
A van?
It would be the model.
A freaking
model,
van? Like,
yeah. Or it could be the. Do you think they would do those, like, I don't know how you categorize the Subaru Outback. It's like a
Crossovers.
It's a crossover. Yeah. I think they would do a crossover.
They would probably count that as a crossover.
But is it? Would that not have been like the Model X or the Model Y?
Model Ys are straight USV.
This is what I'm talking about, though. Like any other models they may make, they're going to be alterations or slight modifications on.
They're
going to
make the Model M for motorcycle. Boom.
Ooh. That's going to have 0 to 60 time of negative 6 seconds.
God.
That, yeah.
That, I
can go backwards to 60.
We don't need roads where we're going, Marty.
I don't know if they have.
Yeah, you're totally right, though, Drew. Like, this is an exciting time for Tesla. And if you think of just like a human being's growth period, like I kind of feel like it's in its late teenage years. Like
it's
established, puberty. But it's still like figuring out, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, 15, 16. Actually, how old is Tesla? It might be 15 or 16 years old.
I don't want to count the Roadster. 2003.
What does that make that?
Don't count 2003. The Roadster. Count the model from the Model S.
Definitely 21st century. I think either.
It was founded in 2003. 03. I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
That doesn't count.
So what was that? It's like 16.
It's 16.
So like, it's like perfect.
It is. It's a little teenager becoming an
adult,
well-respected young man or woman.
Yes.
Or whatever you identify in 2020.
whatever Tesla wants to be. That's fine. But yeah, if you consider like how much has changed. I was rewatching a lot of old Tesla events this morning. I watched for the first time the Model X event, which was really interesting to see what that originally looked like when they first showcased it versus what it looks like now. It looks much better now. And how that company was so ambitious so long ago and how so much of what they wanted to happen ended up happening. It's just incredible that they've accomplished a lot of what they've set out to do. And the pickup is like the last design of a consumer-grade vehicle. Yeah, it's the final
frontier. No, that's SpaceX.
Oh, yeah, that's the final one. But when it comes to the, like, yeah, when it comes to cars that everyday people are going to buy, this is like the last big reveal. After this, it's going to be like, okay, van, bus, ambulance, or
RV.
Or like a slightly chunkier Model Y that can seat more people or something, you know. Or maybe they'll update the Model X someday with the doors and stuff like that.
Tesla tiny home.
I have to stop you right there. You use this word a lot in a lot of your latest videos, and I'm just not into the internet culture enough to know what it is. What is chonk? What does that mean?
Chonk means bigger. It means thick with five C's.
Bigger.
It means large.
It means huge.
The big chunk.
It's
big chunk.
I thought that's what it meant, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Bigger.
It's basically a dank way of saying something's
chunkier.
Thick. That's
all. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. So and it's the funny new version of thick with three C's.
Listen,
got it.
Yeah.
I
you can use a little chunk. Funhouse effect on Final Cut when you say chunk. So
President Donald Trump is
big chunk.
Okay. Who invited Trump into this podcast? Oh my gosh.
Huge.
We need to block him.
Bigger.
He's just hijacking the entire show here.
Yuck.
Listen. I know big. Okay. It's great. It's huge. It's huge.
Right.
All right.
Thank you, Randy. But yeah,
I got compliments on my impression last week. So
you sure did. There was a few people.
They keep tweeting me, and so I do it for you guys. I do it for the audience. They respect my impersonation. See, listen here, see.
Right. Well, I hope we get that invite soon. I hope they don't have to delay it further because I'm tired of waiting and not knowing what it looks like.
We should totally whatever's going on that day. I'm gonna take that day off from work, or at least that part of it, and we should just do a live podcast of sorts covering it.
That might be fun.
I want
to
do that
because
like you said, Drew, this is the final like main four wheel something of a new design altogether.
Yeah. After this, it's gonna be mostly commercial stuff. Yeah.
So I wanted to
document
it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
We should do it.
I'd be down for that.
I will make time.
Do you think they'll do any significant design changes to the Model 3 in the next couple of years?
Yes.
Or do you think it's kind of set in stone?
No, I think they'll make some changes.
Just like just like the iPhone, they give it a facelift. Fundamentally, it doesn't like change. Like, it's still a rectangle that you use to, you know, access apps or whatever.
Yeah, but like the model, think of how often the Model S changed.
Very little. The Model S, I don't think you can really compare those two, because Elon just said in the latest earnings call that the Model S and Model X are basically there because he wants them to be there and they don't sell.
For sentimental reasons. Yeah.
Yes, sentimental reasons. Thank you. I think so, the Model 3 will get an update. They'll refresh it. Yeah. And keep
what do you
it
think
fresh.
They'll change?
The hood, the way it looks.
The rear, actually. I think they'll change the trunk. I look at my trunk. I don't like my trunk. I like the Model S trunk more.
Because it's a hatchback.
Yeah, I love that design, and I love that it's automated as well, where mine's manual. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they will change the trunk. I think they will change just cabin space, as you know. It's pretty efficient, okay. As you guys know. We all have been in it. The Model 3, even for Jolly Green Giant over here. For Nick, it's good use of space.
I thought you were referring to yourself.
It's even funnier, Nick, because you're green, and because you're green, your shirt's green, your background is green, and everything. So you're a Jolly Green Giant.
I had too many peas.
It looks like I'm watching a Star Wars fight, because Drew's red with the light. He's got the amber light. So you guys, I took a screenshot. I'm going to look at this. I'm sending it to you. You guys look like you're fighting, and, you know, good versus evil.
Our poor listeners.
Episode 6. So, I already took the screenshot. Sorry, guys. I appreciate the fight. Take a look.
Okay.
Anyway, so I think they'll change.
We'll have to tweet that to the handle later.
They'll tweak little things. He said tweet, so I said tweet.
Okay.
That's very tweet of you.
Stop it! Trunk will change. If I was to be a betting man, trunk will change. Use of cabin space will change. I think how the dashboard and everything up front will stay exactly how it is. I think they've seen great success on hardware minimalism and just putting all the controls in software, because now everything is customizable all the time.
True.
And I feel like maybe they'll make even a deeper frunk, because mine's pretty shallow.
Yeah.
True.
You only fit one body in the frunk. You need at least two.
I can't even fit a Nick in the nothing.
Yes. A small body.
Small body, yeah.
Which is sad to imagine.
That's the guy who was Joker for Halloween.
I'd be interested. What would they call it? Still Model 3?
Yeah. Model 4.
Yeah. Model 4.
3.5, I don't know.
That ruins the whole... Sexy lineup, but whatever. Yeah. 3.1 model. Yeah, I think personally, I think it might be a bit longer than you guys are making it out to be. I think they're kind of trying to focus on making them more affordable and trying to streamline the assembly process, like they are in Gigafactory in Europe and China, and that's probably where most of their attention is going right now. I think. Minor things, maybe, but I don't think anything as major as the Model S, the big black oval to the.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen immediately. I just, my prediction is it will happen.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We got to wrap up. We can't make it to the full 2 hours because we all got crap to do. We've got TV Plus originals to watch.
I know. I got to finish Dickinson and see. Yeah,
so we'll catch you all next week. Randy, you're still broke. Nick, Apple Card's great. And I will talk to you all next week.
He's doing his new Talos of Tech video outros where he does that random something near the end. That's funny. All right. Yeah. Bye, guys.
Right.